Regulators, mount up. We're coming.
It is time for Green and Gold This Week.
What the hell's going on out here?
Presented by Glenn's Market and Catering.
Big dogs are in the house.
722 West Main Street in Watertown. For all your market and catering needs, call Glenn today, 920-261-2226.
But they are who we thought they were.
Connect with the show by email at greenandgoldthisweek@yahoo.com.
We couldn't do diddly poo offensively. We couldn't make a first down. We couldn't run the ball. We didn't try to run the ball. We couldn't complete a pass. We sucked.
Or tweet at WXRO Radio.
See that? That's your IQ, buddy. Zero.
Now, live from Glenn's Market and Catering in Watertown, here's Bill Johnson.
Cannot play with him. Cannot win with him.
And Jesse Nelson.
Cannot coach with him. Can't do it.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. This is Green and Gold This Week, presented by Glenn's Market and Catering, live at Glenn's Market and Catering, 722 West Main Street in Watertown. Bill Johnson on his way. I'm Jesse Nelson. Great show coming up for you today, right before the holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Happy holidays to everyone out there. And a happy Packers victory Wednesday again, or victory Thursday as well, heading into the new week. We hope to have the same results coming up this week after a 30-27 win for the Packers over the Chicago Bears. Bill and I going to break that one down. Look ahead to a rematch with the Minnesota Vikings with everything on the line at noon on Christmas Eve at Lambeau Field. Going to get into that. Going to break down what happened with Demaryius Randle this week, as well as Devontae Adams in the doghouse. Going to talk about him as well. Of course, we're going to get Glenn's tailgate tip of the week, as he'll join us later in the program. And Bill's going to tell you all about that sweet ride of the week from Reed Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Beaver Dam. This is Green and Gold This Week, presented by Glenn's Market and Catering, live at Glenn's Market and Catering in Watertown. More of the show coming up.
So much in college, you should just say, you know, after one game, we'll say one in the wagon and 16 lagging, you know, all the way to the championship in college. And, you know, that's what kind of reminded me of right now what we're doing.
That is Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, Packers Pro Bowl safety. So what are they now? 14 in the wagon, 2 lagging, or 8 in the wagon, 2 lagging. I don't know if he just puts the wins or he puts the
I don't know what
total
he does.
Games.
It is green, in the wagon.
It is Green and Gold This Week, presented by Glenn's Market and Catering.
Glenn's fired up.
Live at Glenn's Market and Catering. The proprietor is properly medicated for today's show. We are ready for action. If you want to tweet us, it is at WXRO Radio. Or if you want to get us on the email, it is greenandgoldthisweek@yahoo.com. That's greenandgoldthisweek@yahoo.com. And, yeah, we are at our regular home base here, Glenn's Market and Catering, 722 West Main Street in Watertown. And Packers come off a narrow win over the Chicago Bears. Part of that, the fact that it was a divisional game, and divisional games always seem to be close, but part of it was just that the old terminology is they left points on the field. I can't remember a game in the last 8 years where they've left so many points on the field. If you take the two Adams, which were touchdowns, so there's 14. You take the field goal that they passed up in the first half.
To go for it, yeah.
I think Nelson on his drops, I think one of those was potentially a touchdown because his guy fell down. So there's another 7 points. So potentially, you've got 24 points right there that they took off the board. You're wondering why it was so close? I mean, yeah, if all of a sudden you take, let's say you just add half of those points on, all of a sudden it's, what, 39-24? And it's like, wow, yeah, it's an easy win for the Packers. So, but either way, it doesn't, his style points don't count in the NFL. They won. They've won 5 straight. They're 8-6. And I think at this point, it would be, well, it'd be a real upset if they lost to the Vikings. Is it fair to say that it'd be an upset if they lost another game? Because I
would.
I mean, are they going to be favored in Detroit?
Yes. Yeah, they will. Because I believe Detroit will be coming off of 2 straight losses and in a total tailspin.
Right.
They lost to the Giants last weekend, and they're, I think, going to lose to the Cowboys, which have everything to play for.
True.
This week on, yep, Monday Night Football at Dallas. So Dallas with a chance to wrap up the number one seed in the NFC, the division title, just everything on the line for the Cowboys this week. So, yeah, I think the Cowboys are going to beat them. I think the Packers, I don't want to spoil our fourth segment of the show here, but I think the Packers can take care of business against Minnesota at Lambeau Field this week, because the Vikings, you want to talk about a tailspin. I mean, what happened to that team from October 1st on? Just a totally different set of circumstances for the Minnesota Vikings from what we saw way back before. So, yeah, I'm totally confident that the Green Bay Packers are going to win the NFC North.
I love that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Stinky he's brick, man.
Waving the stinky cheese in front of us here now. No, thank you, Glenn.
I love that stuff.
You can keep the stinky cheese. You keep. No, get that out of here. There is no stinky cheese in Green Bay. We know that. Packers are firing on all cylinders.
You know what the best thing to do with stinky cheese is, though? Especially after bar. It's great this way. Imagine going home and making a drunken grilled cheese sandwich out of this.
Oh, that's disgusting. That's disgusting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That,
no.
That multiplies it right there, man. Yeah.
That one is warm and really good.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez.
Oh, delicious. This is aged bread.
Oh, I'm getting sick over here smelling that stuff. Mm. Where do you keep that stuff? Oh. Yikes. Does he know he's talking to us when we're on the air? And no one can hear him other than us.
Oh, fine. Mmm. That's good. And you're doing the show, and I'm eating.
Fine.
I'm eating stinky bread.
I'm actually glad I have an opportunity here, because I did think about something earlier this week. Now, in the spirit of Christmas, the spirit of the holidays, we hear all the Christmas music being played on our stations all this week, on other stations all across the country, and you hear that, you know, one of the songs you'll hear is "Hark the Herald Angels Sing,"
mm-hmm.
and it's nobody's favorite Christmas carol.
Really?
Nobody says, like, if you said name your favorite Christmas carol, no one's going to say "Hark the Herald Angels Sing" is my favorite Christmas carol.
You don't like the Charlie Brown version?
I love the song. It was one of the first songs I learned to play on piano.
That's what they
do. Have you guys been drinking before the show, or what's going on here? But, so, we are off the rails. Holidays, we mailed it in early. So with "Hark the Herald Angels Sing," it's nobody's favorite Christmas carol, but it's also one that you get by, and you know, everybody likes it when you hear it. And that's where the Green Bay Packers are at right now relative to everything else. They're not the best team in the NFL. They're not the best team in the NFL. You know, the Patriots are better. The Raiders are better. The Chiefs, I would argue, are better. The Seahawks, despite a head-to-head win, are better.
You would agree here, though. They can beat anybody at this point. They can lose, but they can beat anybody.
Yes, and that's why I like where the Packers are at right now. I'm confident in this team that if I took the Packers up on a regular basis, if now looking ahead from right now through the playoffs all the way to the Super Bowl, if you said, can the Packers beat, well, let's look at the helmets that are sitting here on the table right in front of us. Can they beat Minnesota? Yeah.
Yes.
Can they beat Dallas?
That's the toughest one right there, because Dallas has clearly been the best team in the NFC and maybe the best team in the NFL the whole year. But other than that, you give me the rest of
Detroit, Kansas City, Denver, New Orleans, Tampa, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, sure. They can beat them all. And that's why they don't have to totally impress you week to week. And that's what happened last week. They didn't impress in the second half. They left points on the board, like you said. Yep. I never lacked the confidence thinking that they weren't going to beat the Bears.
Well, how many times have
I never wavered in that?
Because everybody talks about the Patriots from afar, and everybody talks, you know, worships Belichick and wants to erect a statue of him out in front of Lambeau Field. How many times have they beaten the Bills or the Dolphins or the Jets exactly the way that the Packers beat the Bears this past week? Played like, handed in like a C-minus game, not played well, left a bunch of points on the field, but they still come out of it with a win.
And Coach Mike McCarthy says that's December football.
December football.
Exactly. You're going to play teams in your division. Football. They're going to be close games, and they're going to play you competitively, especially a team like the Bears, where that was their Super Bowl. They had a chance to eliminate the Packers from the playoffs. They didn't do it. They gave it everything they had. Matt Barkley was auditioning for a starting job and did a fine job at quarterback.
Here's the thing, though. They deserve to get pistol-whipped in that game. That's the difference. I mean, they did not play like it was their Super Bowl early on. The Packers brought the Super Bowl to them by making a bunch of mistakes.
But let's also remember these are humans on the football field, and it was cold and windy.
No, I get all that, but so, I'm saying, don't tell me that they played like it was their Super Bowl. I can understand why Bears fans were upset with John Fox, because they did not look prepared to play that game. The Packers let them back into that game.
Yes.
Packers should have killed them. They should have been worse than it was versus Seattle. They should have pounded them, and you're right. They let off the throttle for some reason.
Green Bay mailed it in, late third quarter, kind of when they went up 27-10 comfortably. And
yeah, really, though.
It really felt like it was in the bag.
But, like, the second quarter when they left those points on the board. And then, obviously, when did Adams drop his? Was that in the third quarter or the fourth quarter?
I believe it was the third quarter.
Third quarter. I mean, you know, they should have pounded the Bears. We shouldn't even be talking about a close game here. They should have blasted the Bears.
But what I'm saying is I'm looking past what the final score said, and they needed a last-second field goal to go on the road and beat the Bears, and some people are looking at that as if it's a team that can't compete with the top teams in the NFL because that's what they needed to do, and they let the lowly Bears back into it. I'm seeing this, and I'm saying they dominated that game, and even where they didn't play well, they were still up 27-10, and they trailed for 90 seconds in the entire game. People are acting like it was this big come-from-behind effort to win the game. They trailed for 90 seconds, a minute and a half in the game, and it was in the late stages of the second quarter at 10-7.
Right.
So I'm just really, really frustrated with some of the people out there that are saying that this team is still garbage and that they can't pull off a Super Bowl run, because they definitely, definitely can. We're going to learn a lot this week, though, and we can get to that in the next segment about what they're going to do against the Minnesota Vikings in a revenge game.
It is Green and Gold This Week, presented by Glenn's Market and Catering, live at Glenn's Market and Catering, 722 West Main Street in Watertown.
You know, he's battling through. He's playing extremely well. Still able to move as much as he can and make the throws. So, you know, we're glad to have him out there no matter what situation. But to see, like you said, the way he's performing and carrying on still.
Packers receiver Jordy Nelson talking about his quarterback Aaron Rodgers, who has picked up his level of play in spite of injuries to both legs, a left thigh and a right calf. And it seems like he hobbles around every other throw, too, but still playing great and still able to throw that bomb to Jordy Nelson in the last seconds. It was remnant, even though it wasn't the final week of the season, the importance of it, it was remnant of the play to Cobb on fourth down at the end of the 2013 season.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was great.
It's the same kind of deal. It is Green and Gold This Week, presented by Glenn's Market and Catering, live at Glenn's Market and Catering, 722 West Main Street in Watertown. And how did I get here today, Jesse?
I kind of hope you didn't drove based on the way segment one went.
I got here in the sweet ride of the week, and it's brought to you by Reed Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Beaver Dam. It is the 2011 Ram Dakota Lone Star four-wheel drive, four-door crew cab. Man, oh, man.
You pulled up to the radio station earlier in this thing, and I said, that is one sweet ride.
That was a sweet ride, absolutely. Like Brent Reed said earlier today when he was on our show, it's something that they don't make anymore. It's as far as trucks goes, it's kind of a midsize. It's not that compact truck that we had a few years ago, but it's also not the gigantic truck. But it's got a nice size bed. It's got the bed cover on it. As I mentioned, it's got the crew cab, which is convenient, especially if you got a family or you're towing around a lot of people. It's just got just over 50,000 miles on it. It's comfortable. Oh, man. It's comfortable. And like every other sweet ride he gives me, you can pick them up and lay them down. You get there quick. Right now, for a limited time, and this one is going to go fast, because like Brent said, they don't make these anymore. They're almost like collector's items. The sweet ride of the week. You walk into Reed Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Beaver Dam. You track down Brent Reed. And you tell that rascal that you want the sweet ride of the week. The 2011 Ram Dakota Lone Star four-wheel drive, four-door crew cab for just $20,000. It's the sweet ride of the week, brought to you by Reed Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Beaver Dam. We are live at Glenn's Market and Catering, 722 West Main Street. In Watertown, and it is Green and Gold This Week. The conclusion that I came to, and I don't know if I've talked about this on the show or not, I've been accused over the years of carrying Ted Thompson's water, walking in lockstep with Ted Thompson. And I'm proud of that because I think he builds a football team the way you have to build a football team. You build on youth. You hope that that youth gets good enough to contribute, you know, ideally speaking in their first year, but hopefully by their second or third year that they start contributing at a level that makes a difference. That's the way to do it. It's a young man's game. It's a young man's league. I've said it before. I think they got to draft speed. Every draft pick, everybody they take, they got to take speed. I don't care if they take a single sumo this year in the draft or not. I don't care. I don't want any. They have to take fast guys. But the other thing I think that they have to do, and he's done this in the past, when he needed a safety, he went out and signed Charles Woodson as a free agent. When he needed a defensive lineman, when he needed a sumo, he went out and signed Ryan Pickett. When he needed a pass rusher on the other side of Clay Matthews, he went out and signed Julius Peppers. I think they need to go out and sign a corner because I don't think Sam Shields is coming back. And I still like the guys they have. I just don't know that they're ready to accept the mantle of being the number one guy. I think they need to go out and sign a corner. And there's some options out there, and we'll knock those around a little bit. Trumaine Johnson is the number one guy as a free agent. Now, with the amount of money that he makes and with the emphasis on defense that they have with the Rams, he's one of those guys that I think if they don't sign him, I really start to ask questions as to why.
Yeah. Especially, I mean, now being in L.A., I don't see a player that's part of the original, well, not the original franchise, but the team that moved to L.A., and you have that special part of your, the first team back in L.A. since the Raiders. Why would you leave L.A. if they're going to pay you to go to Green Bay? Do you really want to do that if you're a star athlete?
Well, if you want to win a championship. That's
if you want to win a championship, yeah. But I also think now with bringing in a new coach there in the next couple of years, the Rams are going to be a very competitive team. So I wouldn't leave L.A. if I was Trumaine Johnson.
All right. Some kind of mid-rangey guys, some guys that were high draft picks that may or may not have worked out with the teams that drafted them. One of them is not with the team that drafted them anymore. It's Prince Amukamara, who's with the Jaguars after being drafted top five by the Giants. And I think he's been an all right player. I don't think he's ever elevated his game to justify that high pick. And I guess, and the other guy that I'll mention is the same way. And I don't, how high did Maurice Claiborne go? He was top 10, wasn't he?
I believe so, yeah. Man. That was a name they were throwing around the whole pre-draft as one of the guys that could go way up top.
Right.
I think he
right.
fell a little bit, but not, I mean, significantly enough where he fell out of the first round or anything like that.
But Maurice Claiborne's going to be a free agent as well. And the one thing I didn't look at is whether they were restricted or unrestricted. I'm of the opinion that they're unrestricted. But those two guys are guys that have not lived up to their potential or what people thought their potential was when they came into the NFL. But when you hear about the Packers staff talked about, one of the guys that's very highly regarded is their corners coach, Joe Witt. Do you take a chance on one of those guys? You're going to have to pay him some money. But do you take a chance on those guys believing that Joe Witt can get everything out of those guys that previous coaches could not?
Do you think that Ted will be reluctant to do that and that he would trust the system that he's got to continue to develop Demarius Randle and Quentin Rollins in the offseason and have them be a couple of all-pro corners in just their third year each next season?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess we'll find out because right now, this season, it all depends on how things wash out the rest of the season. If they go out and win the Super Bowl, I don't know that they're going to go out and get anybody. They still might. Who knows? If they get run out of the playoffs, and especially if they get run out of the playoffs in a game like yesterday, where instead of letting a bad team back into a game, they let a good team knock the crap out of them because they can't cover anybody, you know, then I wonder if he takes a look. Because, you know, what did it take for him? I guess it took a 4-12 season for him to take a look at Charles Woodson and Ryan Pickett, because I think he signed them both in the same year. What did it take for him to look at Julius Peppers? Was it the fact that between a combination of injuries and poor play that Nick Perry hadn't worked out yet? Was that the decision that made him go after Julius Peppers, or was it just because it was a bargain?
That they couldn't contain Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the decision is, but I mean, I think he's got to look back at some of the games that Demarius Randle has had this year. And I'm not giving up on Demarius Randle. I mean, I still think Demarius Randle can be a very good corner in this league. I think he can be a good two. I think ideally speaking, because he played safety in college, Demaryius Randall is more of a Micah Hyde kind of guy that you bring in as your nickel or your dime. And with the way it is in the NFL, your nickel or your dime are pretty much on the field all the time. I think that's the ideal spot for Demaryius Randall. And that might be the problem with the Packers. Between all their defensive backs, between their safeties and their corners, they might have a team full of guys like that. They might have a team full of, you know, safeties that can cover and cornerbacks that can hit, but they don't have that one corner anymore with the injury to Shields. They don't have that one guy that can go out and cover the other team's best receiver every week.
And that is going to lead you into times like you saw against Washington and right. against Minnesota and against Detroit earlier in the year, where the guys on the other side, if they've got a competent quarterback thrown to them, they're going to put up a lot of numbers.
Right.
And that's going to lead to scores. And eventually, you can't just assume you're going to outscore the other team every single week.
No, I would agree. I mean, and that's, again, it all depends on how the rest of this season pans out. You know, if they go down in flames and they lose in the last second to the Cowboys in the NFC Championship game, you know, then it'll probably be, well, they were just better than us. But if it's one of these where they go out, and there's a few teams in the playoffs that if they don't have that cover corner thing figured out, they're going to get killed. I mean, because is Julio going to be healthy for the playoffs?
I would imagine if they get in. I mean, it's no sure thing that the Falcons are going to get in at this point.
But, so. I mean, okay, so then let's say they don't get in. Let's say they fold up and Tampa ends up winning the division. Who's going to cover Mike Evans? And I mean that's a team where
Randall, Randall.
Winston is gonna give you opportunities. Winston's kind of that Brett Favre guy now, where he's gonna give you four or five opportunities to pick him off.
I think that's the difference. I think if you're up against Jameis Winston, you can put Demaryius Randall on Mike Evans, and there's gonna be some times they would connect, but there's other times that Winston's gonna throw it poorly, or they're not gonna be entirely on the same page. And Randall is good enough to take advantage of those.
My whole thing is, you know. There are teams that if he plays the way that, it, or if not, and it's not just him, if their pass defense plays the way that they played on Sunday, the Packers are going to get beat 45-10. Or 45-if Rodgers is still on top of his game, they get beat 45-35. Well, big deal. You know, so I mean, we'll see how it all, we'll see how it all pans out. I think ultimately, because don't you think that their pass rush has been good enough?
I think their pass rush has been very good over the last month. I mean, I think everything defensively has clicked over the last month. And that's a little bit of what I'm worried about, is that perhaps they peaked here during this four-game winning streak. And we've seen what the defense can do best at its best. What they did against Philadelphia and all these teams that they've played. Houston, 13, 10. Up until late third quarter, it was 10 against Chicago.
Right.
And then they went into shutdown mode. So, I don't know. I'm kind of going at it with blind faith at this point. I guess I'm sitting here thinking the Packers have figured it out. They've won four in a row. They looked so bad for a long time during the middle of the season. We all were calling for heads to roll. We didn't know exactly whose heads, but someone had to get fired over it. They've since figured it out. They've made the adjustments they've needed to make. They got healthy, and they're playing their brand of football well right now at the time of the season where it matters most.
If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us, greenandgoldthisweek@yahoo.com. That's greenandgoldthisweek@yahoo.com. Or hit us on Twitter, @WXRO Radio. That's @WXRO Radio. It is Green and Gold This Week, presented by Glenn's Market and Catering, live at Glenn's Market and Catering, 722 West Main Street in Watertown.
Whatever the coaches want to do. I mean, I have tremendous confidence up in myself, and I'm just get in and just correct those mistakes, and just whatever the coaches decide, that's just what they decide.
Demaryius Randall, who had got burned numerous times, had a key pass interference penalty that after the pass interference penalty, he got yanked. And Micah Hyde came in to play in the slot, and Quentin Rollins moved to the outside. I don't know that they were noticeably better after that happened, but Demaryius Randall certainly finds himself on the hot seat as the Packers go to take on the Vikings. And he gets to revisit a matchup that was not particularly friendly to him early in the
beginning of the end, yeah.
Yeah, Stephon Diggs. So he's been up and down. I mean, you know, 2 weeks ago he had two interceptions. So, I mean, he's had an up and down season, and that's going to happen a lot with second-year cornerbacks, and that's what's happened with him.
I got a couple questions for you that are just kind of all over the board.
Okay.
First one, looking ahead to the Vikings this weekend. What do you make of the Sam Bradford situation now that we're into week 16? What do you make of the Vikings offensively with Adrian Peterson coming back?
I think Adrian Peterson's a non-factor. I think he's finished. That's not to say that he might squeak out a 100-yard game on.
He plays well against the Packers
on 28 carries. You know, Adrian Peterson as a game changer is done. So I think he's less of a factor in that game than Sam Bradford and Stephon Diggs and Kyle Rudolph and the passing game. I don't know what their long-term plans are, but I still think Bradford is a better option at quarterback for them than Teddy Bridgewater. And I don't know how to explain that, but I mean, I think Teddy Bridgewater was good because Teddy Bridgewater had Adrian Peterson the whole time he played quarterback, essentially. So I think it's going to be an interesting decision for them to make during the offseason. Their offseason is going to come in 2 weeks. They're finished. I think that they, unfortunately, their defense is a good early season defense, and that's because they got a bunch of guys on that defense that get hurt and can't finish the season. Kind of the poster child for that is Harrison Smith, who I've always liked. I always thought he was a really good player, but he can never make it all the way through a season. He's kind of this era's version of Bob Sanders, who played collegiately at Iowa and then played for the Colts and was an impact player when he could play, but the problem is that he just couldn't stay healthy. So I think that's their problem in a nutshell. I think that it's difficult when a defensive-oriented head coach gets into a situation like this because, you know, your emphasis is to hunker down, and if you don't have the dudes to hunker down, you have a problem. So
short week. They play the game Saturday at noon. You can hear it on both these stations, AM 1430 WBEV and 95.3 WXRO. You think that's going to impact the result of the game at all, playing it one day earlier?
Yeah, I mean, I think it does. I think that these guys are all creatures of habit, but I think it's going to be like so many other games and like the game last week. It's all going to be about momentum. It's going to be about, and I still, if I were the Packers, I would want the ball. I even if they won the coin flip, I would want the football. To get it, take it down, score, take the lead, and put the pressure on an offense that hasn't been able to do anything. I think it'll have an impact. I don't think it's going to impact the outcome. I think the Packers are going to win no matter what. And, you know, then it's on to Detroit. And that's a place where so many weird things have happened over the years. You can't say with all confidence that the Packers are definitely going to go in and beat the Lions because there's too many times they've gone in there when the Lions were not the better team and they've still lost.
Yeah, so. The game Aaron Rodgers got hurt back in 2010 is the one that most recently stands out. Right. Speaking of Aaron Rodgers, I've seen a few articles from some national pundits, Pete Prisco of CBS Sports, one of them that I was just reading earlier today, campaigning that Aaron Rodgers could be a candidate for NFL MVP.
When do they vote on that?
After the regular season.
But I think they have to get their votes in before the playoffs start.
Yes. And then they announce it the Saturday night right before the Super Bowl.
Boy.
Could Aaron Rodgers be the MVP this year?
I still think it's going to be Tom Brady. Even though he only played 12 games. I think, especially if they can continue to cruise into the playoffs in spite of the fact that Gronkowski is gone, I still think it's Brady.
Cases to be made for Derek Carr of the Raiders, Dak Prescott and Zeke Elliott with the Cowboys.
Sure. That's the beautiful thing about the Chiefs. The Chiefs have played great. Who's their MVP candidate? They don't have one.
Travis Kelce.
Yeah, Eric Berry. You know?
Yeah, really.
I mean, it's just, it's the kind of year that it's been, and people keep, I'm really tired of people saying that they don't, that people aren't watching the NFL because Colin Kaepernick kneeled during the national anthem. Give me a break. If there's 10 people across the United States that have watched any less NFL football because Colin Kaepernick kneeled in a game that nobody saw and nobody cared about.
You've avoided watching the Packers
this year. It's nonsense.
Because Colin Kaepernick kneed.
It's people that have an agenda. The people that say that people have stopped watching the NFL because of Colin Kaepernick are people that have not curtailed their NFL viewing at all. They just have an agenda. So, whatever. I mean, I think the reason that the viewership is down and the reason that the overall excitement is down is just because it's kind of an season. There's not any real, you know, huge stories. I mean, they're going to have to wait for the postseason for the stories to be made in this season. But you go all the way back in the Super Bowl era, I mean, and you go back beyond. They've had years like that where there's seasons, where there's not a big story. But, you know, most of the time, there's something that happens. There's something, either somebody's going for a record, or it's the final season for a great player, or there's a real hot shot rookie, you know, and not like Prescott and Elliott, who've been great, but I mean, like Eric Dickerson, you know.
Yeah.
Rushing, you know, flirting with 2,000 yards as a rookie.
Andrew Luck a few years ago was the one who set the record.
There aren't any of those types of stories in the NFL, and I think that's why viewership is down. You know, I mean, people are going to, they're going to take their agenda and run with it on anything. There's people that'll tell you that NFL viewership is down because of global warming.
And the point you just made, and I think it's interesting how, and it reminds me of a TV show, like where you got five different storylines that all come together at the very end and it all makes sense as to why you were watching it.
Sure.
Earlier in the show, I talked about Hark the Herald Angels Sing and how it's a Christmas carol that, you know, it's middle of the road. It's no one's favorite Christmas carol, but in a year like this in the NFL where there is no dominant storyline, it's probably the Cowboys are the dominant storyline. And the resurgence of the Cowboys, and maybe you can throw in the resurgence of the Cowboys and Raiders.
Sure.
But when you think about, I mean, who's blowing people out? Who's a standout player this year? What team are you deathly afraid of? There isn't any of that. And if you're listening to songs in a row, and it's middle-of-the-road song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing comes on, hey, that's suddenly looking like a pretty good song. That's where I see the Packers are right now. Now, if you hear amazing song, amazing song, amazing song, and then it comes on, it feels different. But you don't have a team this year like the Seahawks and the Patriots were a few years ago. You don't have it like the Broncos and Panthers were last year, where you were afraid to play those teams because of those vaunted defenses and the great play of their quarterbacks. You don't have that. And that's why this is suiting up perfectly for the Packers. Maybe we're watching the story of the year unfold right in front of us and we don't even know it.
Sure.
That the resurgence and the late season run of the Green Bay Packers, when all looked completely lost on a Sunday night in the nation's capital, maybe that's the storyline that we're going to be talking about in middle of February after we're celebrating a victory championship in Green Bay.
But see, that's the thing. And you know, even though, and I give the people at ESPN a hard time because all of them grew up with either Jets or Giants jammies. Even though the Giants won two Super Bowls, they were two of the lower profile Super Bowls that I can remember.
Well, the one when they beat the Patriots the first time.
Yeah, but the story wasn't that they won.
It was that the Patriots lost, but you can't say it's a low profile win.
Nobody talked about them. It was kind of like, oh, the Giants won. I mean, and all the talk was not about the Giants. The talk was about the fact that the Patriots had lost. I just wonder, too, I mean, maybe it's because we're in the midst of it, but how much did it resonate nationally when the Packers won Super Bowl 45? Was that just a big story around here, or was it a big deal? I know that they got national advertising deals out of it, but
I think it was a pretty big deal because I think the Packers are one of those top brands, like when the St. Louis Cardinals and the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
Well, and I guess it still holds, too, because you look at it, they haven't won since the 2010 regular season, which is 6 years ago, but Rodgers still has his deal, which you'd expect. Matthew still has his deal. Randall Cobb is getting on commercials. I mean, it's for guys that play in Green Bay to get on national commercials, it's still a big deal.
Yeah.
So,
I'm just saying, this season is suiting up now that we're here at the end, and we thought coming into the year, remember when the Packers were going to be favored in every game?
Yeah.
And how could they not go 15-1? How could they not go 14-2? Well, here they are fighting for a chance to still get in the playoffs with 2 weeks to go. And they still, I mean, they control their own destiny, but they needed help to get to this point. And we could still be talking about them as going into January as one of the most feared teams in the running.
How many games have they been an underdog? Against Dallas?
They were underdogs to Washington.
They were?
I believe so. Washington or Philly, they were underdogs. They were underdogs to Seattle. They weren't underdogs to Philly. It had to have been Washington.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were underdogs to Minnesota week two.
No, they weren't. They were favored in that game.
I thought they were worse.
Yeah, I think they were, especially because that was Bradford's first start. They were favored in that game. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. They haven't been, you know, I know they've been a dog once or twice, but that's about it, you know. Yeah. They're not used to playing as a dog.
And, well, and even if you look at it, the game that they were really heavy underdogs at home to Seattle, they crushed them. So they responded to that chip on their shoulder that, you know, they can't get it done. They're one of the inferior teams in the league. Something changed, and I think it was Aaron Rodgers. I've said on this show before that I think he's that leader in the clubhouse, and he doesn't do it like other guys do it. He doesn't give a you-rah-rah speech, but he'll go to the mic at a press conference, and he'll drop things like, I think we can run the table. Or a couple of years ago, R-E-L-A-X, it's going to be all right. And it all turned out to be exactly right and exactly the right message.
Right.
Aaron knows the guys in that locker room. He knows what they'll respond to. Individually, he'll know, and as a unit, he knows what they respond to.
Right.
And when he took the mic and said, I think we can run the table, I think that's what they needed. I think they were hearing the criticisms, and they were thinking about it to themselves that they were in store for some trouble if they didn't right their ship. And to hear that confidence from the quarterback really changed things for this team.
When we come back, we'll have Glenn with his tailgate tip of the week. Just want to remind you, the sweet ride of the week is a 2011 Ram Dakota Lone Star 4x4 four-door crew cab. Just $20,000. It's the sweet ride of the week at Reed Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Beaver Dam. It is Green and Gold This Week, presented by Glenn's Market and Catering, live at Glenn's Market and Catering, 722 West Main Street, Watertown.
Wednesday will be a Thursday, so our practice there will be later in the day. Hope it doesn't screw up your guys' Christmas shopping, because I know Tomosky is behind from right here. So we're going to practice later Wednesday, but the extent of that will really, frankly, will be what we find out today and tomorrow.
That is Packers head coach Mike McCarthy. Talking about an odd schedule. They are. They're creatures of habit. It throws them into a tizzy when they play a day early during the season, or a day late, or whatever. It is Green and Gold This Week, presented by Glenn's Market and Catering, live at Glenn's Market and Catering, 722 West Main Street here in Watertown. And joining us now with his tailgate tip of the week is the proprietor of Glenn's Market and Catering. Hello, Glenn.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm wonderful.
Good.
Just a little slow tonight. You see this?
You're always... Oh, yeah. Look at this place. It's
just rocking. It's
rocking.
From the time we got here to now, I mean, they've been wall-to-wall in here.
Did you find your heart over the weekend, over last week?
I did. I went to Chicago, and I realized...
You have a heart?
Terrible person,
man.
I only
had a heart.
Tailgate tip of the week should be the man in behind you that runs his S, Jeff.
Yeah.
That runs the show. He buys Christmas dinner here.
That's right.
Yeah.
He's buying Christmas. How are those Christmas dinners going? You got prime rib and you got ham. You got all kinds of great stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then you know what else you should buy? If you can't find nothing else, how does that go? Hard to find a gift? A gift card, right?
Oh, gift cards are fantastic.
They taste good. Right. They always fit.
I love gift cards. But you also got gift boxes down here as well.
Yes, I do. You know what else we got? Well, this week we got pork loins, pork loins cut up for you.
That's good.
$1.49 a pound.
That's delicious.
About a 22-pound average, so about a $35, $33 bill.
Yeah.
For your kids, take it home and give it to the kids, give it to the mom and dad. It's a great idea.
That's one of those things. I like a beef rib roast. This is what we used to do when we were for opening day of fishing. You take a big rib roast, you put it in the oven, and you cook it for a while, and then you just turn it off and you let it sit the whole day.
Correct.
Oh God, is that good?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So Sunday night, Saturday night, we're gonna put it on the smoker.
Oh.
and then let the, you know, put it on about 10 o'clock, let it smoke for 5-6 hours, let it go out, let it sit in there. Sunday morning, I'll get up and turn it back on. Eat at noon.
Heaven. That sounds fantastic. And you got raw beef and onions. You can get raw beef and onions.
That's right. Here. Yeah, we do.
That's a beautiful thing. For those of you that thought raw beef and onions wasn't around anymore, come on to Glenn's and get some raw beef and onions.
And stinky cheese. You got plenty of that, too.
Oh, yeah. That was delicious. That's what really kept me off the first segment of the show was the fact that you had some aromatic brick.
You know, what you should do is just get off the radio station, come by this joint, and you could do the whole deal.
That's true.
Yeah.
I couldn't handle the pressure, though.
The pressure.
Yeah, I'd see you. You just got so much pressure.
Well, you were so right last week. You know, the Packers are going to come ahead, way ahead, and then they're going to lose it, and then they're going to just win in a kickoff at a field goal.
I sound like Jesse here. Well, they should have.
Speaking of who was right last week, Glenn...
Was I right on?
Congratulations. You weren't right on. In fact, you were pretty far off, but the rest of us were more far off. So at 28-14, you were the closest with the score prediction last
week. Oh, no. Didn't he? Closer?
No. Because Bill said 31-7.
Oh, I thought you were winning a field goal. I thought that you said last weekend.
No.
I probably said that against Seattle. All right, Glenn, what do you think? It's the Packers.
Are we playing this weekend?
Yeah, Saturday.
Oh, Saturday, that's
right. Saturday at noon against the Vikings.
How does this work? We're going to be busier. I can't watch the game. Let's cancel the game until Sunday, okay?
I don't think the NFL is going to go for that.
Well, everybody thought they were going to play it at night, but they decided not to. That would have been better for
them. They ended up not being allowed to flex out of it.
You watch if they change that date, and I got to pull. I got to make one phone call. It'll be all done.
You're going to do that,
Who can you call? Who's in your Rolodex that you can call and say, all right, we need
Uncle
to change
Bill.
The time of the...
That's right.
Uncle Bill.
Uncle Bill could probably get it done. Uncle
and
Bill
the Barn Bill. Show, yeah.
Barn Show is coming up. So yeah.
Okay, let's get on this. So,
what do you like for this week?
Well, the Packers got to win.
Yeah.
They got to win.
And I think it's going to be kind of like another one of them shootout deals. So like 30-something to 28, maybe. 30 or 20. Yeah, that's good. 30 to 28. Yeah, I'm there.
28. All right.
He was right last week.
All right, Glenn, once again, we've got the pork loins. Wonderful price on those. You take those home, it's going to be delicious. And you get them done. Oh, man.
Gift cards. Prime rib.
Gift boxes, prime rib, ham. It's all here.
Yep. Glenn's it's
Market,
all here.
Catering 722 West Main Street in Watertown. Thanks, Glenn.
Merry Christmas, Glenn.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Merry Christmas to all you. Yeah.
I didn't get you anything.
I forgot it was coming.
Yeah.
All right. So, Jesse, you.
Well, as Glenn said, Packers got to win. They got to win this game. It's a must-win.
Yeah.
At home, it's the home finale of the regular season. Could be the home finale, period, depending on how the playoff picture shakes up.
Sure.
Because they could be wild card yet. But I will pick the Packers to win the game. I think Glenn's, again, I'm going to kind of follow him. He's in the right boat. 31 for Green Bay. I think Rodgers throws the ball around the field much better this time than he did back in week two. Vikings, 20. 31-20, the Packers win.
All right. I think that they will have learned their lesson from last week. Now, first, we have to get Sam's pick. Sam's selection is Packers.
Sam had a proxy that he sent over here to submit his pick.
He's got a man working for him now.
He's right so often.
Sam says, Packers 226, Vikings negative 10. No, Sam's got Packers 34, Vikings 10. I kind of like the way that Sam's thinking, but I'm going to have to go with something different. Just because I can't pick the same score as Sam.
Why not? You can pick the same score as Sam.
So I think that they may still have a little trouble with Stephon Diggs, but I also think that they're going to force some turnovers versus the Vikings. I think the offense is going to roll. I think it's going to be the Packers 42 and the Vikings 17.
Wow. You think it's going to be a boat race here on
And then it's
Christmas
on
Eve.
To Detroit. Absolutely. Want to thank everybody involved with the show. Want to thank Glenn of Glenn's Market and Catering, Sam, everybody here, the staff. They do a fantastic job. Want to thank Brent Reed, the sweet ride of the week this week, that 2011 Ram Dakota Lone Star 4x4 crew cab, just $20,000 at Reed Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Beaver Dam. Thanks to Jeff Hall for setting us up. Thanks to Cale Zomer for running the board. Thanks to Jesse. Thanks to all of you for tuning in.
Merry Christmas, Happy New Year,
Bill. It is Green and Gold This Week, presented by Glenn's Market and Catering, live at Glenn's Market and Catering.